Hello everybody, this is English for You and a very warm welcome in the studio. Today I'll have my Fazeka student, Kata.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Saborj, how are you doing?
Fine.
Good. Victoria, what's up?
Everything's great.
Good. Victor, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Great. Perfect answers. And I have Eva over there and Mochi.
I have a question for the Fazeka students. Have you ever got a wrong day? Every time, find it wrong.
Yeah, we're going to ask. We're going to go into this problem. Today's special guest is Mr. Damon Anderson from the United States. And Americans are not too concerned about rank and social position. And they usually call each other by their first name, even when first meeting, except for business or political situations. Damon, is it okay if I call you Damon and not Mr. Anderson?
I prefer it. Thank you.
Okay. You can call me Victor.
Okay. Thanks, right. Victor.
And is it okay for my kids to call you Damon?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And Americans are very good at memorizing names.
Uh-oh.
Do you still remember the name of that girl over there?
Probably not.
any of the names, probably?
Well, Victor seems to be a common name here. So, I remember Victor.
Right.
And is there Victoria? Right. And
Saborj.
Saborj. And
Kata.
Yes. Kata. Okay. I'm sorry, Kata. I apologize.
Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Damon is Damon, I would say, is a rello person in Hungary. Got any idea what it might mean? This is an abbreviation, and Damon, it stands for?
It's an acronym for Regional English Language Officer.
Right. Regional English Language Officer, and I've got this little brochure here saying Regional English Language Office, and he is the Regional English Language Officer. And this organization has three key words. I've stolen them from this brochure, and you can see that communication, cross-cultural understanding, and tolerance. Damon, would you be so kind as to introduce Regional English Language Office with the help of these three words?
Sure. The Regional English Language Office is part of the public diplomacy section of the U.S. Embassy, which tries to help with building mutual understanding between people through its informational and educational programs. And one of our key objectives is helping to build world peace. And the keys to peace are communication, cross-cultural understanding, and tolerance.
Thank you very much. We're going to go into cross-cultural understanding and tolerance in no time. But now we're going to watch a little scene from a very famous film, and it's going to come up pretty soon. And I wonder if you can recognize the actor. Everybody is smiling in the studio, so it's pretty obvious that the actor is called. The name of the actor is Victor, please.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
And the film?
Titanic.
You got it. Oh. Excellent. Excellent. And DiCaprio, or Jack Dawson in the film, has a problem. Would you watch this little scene and tell me what his problem is? Would you roll the tape, please? Good. Kata.
I think he doesn't know what to do because he hasn't been in a situation like this before.
Yes. So he's wearing this wonderful tuxedo and a bow tie. He just doesn't know how to behave. Have you ever been in a situation when you felt embarrassed because you didn't really know how to behave? Kata.
Yeah, a lot of times, but I didn't remember anything. But one of my friends, she had an American friend who came to Hungary, and it was about Valentine's Day, and my friend didn't know what Valentine's Day stands for, and she bought a flower for her friend, and she gave it to her, and then her friend asked her, do you know what Valentine's Day is, really? And then she explained to her, it was a little bit, well, embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Thank you very much, Sabolcs.
Yes, there was one when we were in Tunisia in the summer. I played volleyball with Arabic guys on the beach who didn't speak English too much. So I just asked them if I can take part in the game, and they said, okay, but I really don't know, didn't know how to behave, so shall I be confident or funny, or what shall I say when I miss the ball? Nevertheless, they were very friendly, and I liked the game very much.
Oh, so they didn't laugh at you?
They laughed, but...
But they were nice.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Victoria?
Our foreign friend, I was staying at a foreign family, and the wife offered me a piece of cake, and I said, oh gosh, sure, yes, I'd like to have it, because it looks wonderful, and I was really enthusiastic about it. And then the husband just didn't want to take it, and I was wondering why. And he looked at me with a knowing smile, and he was quite amused, and then I tasted it, and it was awful. And then the woman sat down opposite me and looked at me, and she was extremely happy that I liked her cake, and I had to eat the whole thing, and it was awful.
Thanks a lot. Victor, please.
This thing happened with one of our friends. He's Arabic, and he only knew two words in Hungarian, hello and sorry. And one day when he was walking in a shop, he saw a beautiful girl. And he went to her and say hello. Then the girl said hello too. And then he wanted to shoot the other word, so he punched the girl on the shoulder and said sorry and go away.
Thank you very much. Mochi, you were smiling.
Oh, you can't imagine it. I have to sit every week in an English TV show, and I don't know what to do. Really.
You've been doing excellent.
Yeah.
We would miss you if you weren't here, so...
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. And I took another, or one motto from this regional English language office brochure, and it goes like this. Damon, would you be so kind as to read it out, please?
Sure. To learn a person's language and not his culture, too, is a perfect way of making a fluent fool of yourself.
Good. We need an explanation. Vicky, what do you think about this sentence?
Well, a lot of people learn languages, but then these languages are used in foreign countries where there are different customs, and we have to get to know them, because otherwise, well, we might find ourselves in embarrassing situations.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
He had the tuxedo, but he didn't know how to behave. Even if we know the language, it doesn't mean that we know the culture. Culture. Damon, what do you mean by culture? Is it just art and music?
Oh, no. Culture refers to many aspects of life, how you eat, how you react or interact with other people, value systems. It's full of many things other than just music, art.
So do you think it's part of the culture, how we behave on the bus, for example?
Very much so.
Doggy doo-doos in the street, on the sidewalk?
Very much.
Bad news. Bad news. Right. And now we are going to get into specifically American culture, right? And we're going to have this picture, and I've got the word melting pot here. We used to refer to American culture as melting pot. And Damon, would you be so kind as to give us an explanation what it used to mean and whether it's still valid or not?
Well, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, the idea of the U.S. was a melting pot. People would come and they would kind of shed their own old cultures or old ways of life and melt together into an American way of life. But that's an old way of thinking. We don't think that way anymore. Now we realize that the people are different. And so United States culture now recognizes diversity. And so we celebrate diversity. We build tolerance, which was one of the key words. And if I can give a kind of a suggestion now, some people say instead of a melting pot, we use something like stew pot, or we can even use something like a mixed salad if you want to use the food metaphor. But I prefer using, should I go ahead?
Yeah, sure, but I just had the word mosaic.
Mosaic. Yes, a mosaic is also perfect. A perfect example, a mosaic, if you're using the art form of it. Using another form, I like to think of the word jazz. Do you like jazz music?
Yeah.
If you listen to jazz, you hear that there's always a current beat going through it, a very, very good beat, which the rhythm of English language is built on, and maybe you'll hear more about that another time. But in jazz, there's this current beat going underneath, and then there's a theme that weaves in and out, and then each of the players can add their own personality to it. So the beat underneath is like the rule of law. The rhythm going in and out is like the values, the society values, and then the personalities are like the different cultures, whether they're idiocultures, personal cultures, or even ethnic or national cultures.
Thank you very much for this lovely metaphor. I think we can understand what it means. And this program is going to help you not to get into embarrassing situations when you are in the States. So, for example, let me just act out a pretty embarrassing situation. And okay, Damon, would you ask me how I'm doing?
Sure. Hi, Victor. How are you?
Hi, Damon. Well, I've got a lot of problems. First of all, I think I've got the athlete's foot, and it's itching, so I've got to scratch it all the time. Also, my wife has got a lot of problems, both financial and her boss is just terrible, you know.
Oh, Victor, I really feel bad for you, but I've really got to run.
Oh, sorry, then. See you.
Okay.
So what was the problem with this conversation?
From my point of view?
Yeah. From an American point of view.
Generally, when we greet each other and say, hello, how are you? We're acknowledging that you're there and that we're interested in you as a person, but we don't want to hear a whole medical history of how you are.
Thank you very much. Guys, you have a card in your desk. Would you just please look at the card and get into small conversations with Damon. So Damon, would you ask Kota first how she's doing, and then she's going to respond, and then you're going to judge the situation from a cross-cultural point of view. Okay?
Okay, so Kata? Just sit here?
Okay, so you just sit here.
Okay, Kata, how are you?
Oh, well, very fine, thank you. I like your tie.
Thank you.
How much did it cost?
So what's the problem with this? You like the first part of this?
The first part was great. People love to be complimented. There's no problem with that. However, generally in the U.S., unless it depends on the relationship that you're in with the person, but asking somebody how much something costs, generally not a good idea.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Ask Savoj, please.
Savoj, hi, how are you?
Yes, I'm fine. You look very well-dressed. How much money do you make a month?
Thank you for the compliment, but I don't make enough.
And again, it's not a very nice topic to raise.
Right. Generally, again, it depends on the level of relationship you are with the person, but it's not something that if you've just met somebody or you're just an acquaintance with them, you wouldn't ask them how much they earn or how much they make.
Thank you. Victoria?
Victoria, hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. You look great and really fit. How much do you weigh?
Too much. Thanks. Well, again, thank you for the compliment. Too bad she doesn't mean it. Anyway, weight and age are things that you generally don't talk to people about, unless, again, depending on your level of relationship with them.
Okay, Victor?
Victor, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You look very good for your age. Anyway, how old are you?
Too old. Thanks. Okay, well, thanks for the compliment, but again, age is something that you don't talk about unless you're on a more friendly level.
Thank you, Damon. If you are in a pub with Americans, so what are the safe topics? Age is not a very good one. Weight is not a very good one. Money is not. So what are good topics?
Weather.
Baseball.
Baseball sports are always good, especially in March. with March Madness and the basketball games going on. Those are safe topics. You can talk about things, current events, things that are going on, but don't get too political.
How about love?
Love. Love's always a good topic.
Thank you very much. Oh, yes. We're going to have the next bit, and you're going to meet an FBI agent who is in charge of a mafioso. And this is the first time the FBI agent shows the mafioso around his new apartment. Listen to this, a little scene, and your question is, why is the FBI man surprised? Okay, would you roll the tape, please?
Say, if you ever want tickets to a baseball game, just give me a call.
Great, baseball.
Because the Padres play the Mets every so often, you know. Though you folks would probably be Yankees fans. It's been my experience the most organized crime people are.
I love the Yankees. Linda loves the Yankees. So does Terry.
Who's Terry?
You are.
Anyway, if you have any questions at all, just give me a call.
Listen, thanks for everything. I really appreciate it.
This is my job. I get paid. You don't tip FBI, man.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I can see you laughing. So what was funny about it, Victoria?
The man wanted to give him some money, some extra money, which is illegal, actually.
And very strange. I mean, you don't tip FBI agent, but the mafioso said, sure you do. He was a real wise guy type of man. And now we're going to get to the topic of tipping. Maciej, who do you give extra money in Hungary? If you go to a restaurant, for example, do you tip the waiter or the waitress?
Yeah, or in a petrol station.
Metro station?
Petrol
station. Thank you very much. Your pronunciation is excellent. It was my ears.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
So,
tipping. Guys, can you think of your parents? Who do they tip?
Yes. They give tip to chimney sweepers. It could be maybe a tradition, it's a superstition that chimney sweepers bring good luck, so that they give money to them.
Very good. So your parents tip chimney sweepers. Any other examples? Could you help me? Victoria?
Like the waiters in the restaurant.
Just waiters?
Hairdressers.
No. Say it again.
Hairdressers.
Hairdressers, maybe. Damon, how is it in the States? Who do you tip?
Petrol station
attendants, gas station attendants?
Well, in the U.S. these days, most gas stations are self-service. But when you do go to a full-service station, if an attendant does help you, yes, you do tip them. You tip waiters and waitresses. You tip service people who help you with things. However, in a store, if a clerk helps you in a store, whatever, you don't tip the clerk in a store.
Hotel?
In a hotel, yes. You tip a busboy if the busboy helps you with something.
Who's the busboy? We don't know.
Not the busboy, the bellboy.
The bellboy.
Bellboy. You tip the bellboy if he carries your bags up to your room or helps you with other things like finding information.
And how much money would you give? That's another very interesting question. $10, $50?
You know, it really depends on the level of accommodation that you're staying in. If you're staying at the Park Hotel, Park Palace Hotel, or something like that, where rooms are like $800 a night or something, then you're going to be tipping more than if you're staying in like a Holiday Inn where rooms are much cheaper. But I would say, on the average, maybe a couple of dollars, anywhere from $2 to $5, depending on.
Right. It was sort of very practical advice. And in a restaurant, maybe 15-20%.
Right. The average now is about 15%.
Thank you.
For a good restaurant, 20.
Thank you very much. Good. Now we're going to have four words on the projector, I believe. Chosen, frozen, whining, and smiling. And I'm very proud of this little thing. I made up. Listen to this. Jews are God's chosen people. Eskimos are God's frozen people. Hungarians are God's whining people. And Americans are God's smiling people. Have you ever been accused of smiling too much?
Oh, heavens, yes. Actually, here in Hungary, I've been accused of smiling too much. Evidently, I was told that in Hungary, men don't smile very much. And that by smiling so much, it means I have something to hide. So
right, but Americans...
I have nothing to hide.
Americans are usually friendly and they really smile a lot, whereas in Hungary, people are a little bit... What would you call them? A little bit reserved or...
Mm-hmm. Reserved.
Okay. Good. Well, not too good, but that's a fact. Now, we're going to have the next bit, and again from Titanic. Rose and Jack are going to have an argument, and what is the word Rose does not want to say? So we are looking for a word. Would you roll the tape, please?
I thought you were leaving.
I am. You are so annoying.
Ha-ha.
Wait, I don't have to leave. This is my part of the ship. You leave.
Ho, ho, ho. Well, well, well. Now who's being rude?
What is this stupid thing you're carrying around? So what are you, an artist or something? Are rather good. They're very good, actually. Jack, this is exquisite work.
They didn't think too much of him in old Paris.
Paris? You do get around for... Well, a person of... limited
means.
Go on,
I'm a poor guy, you can say it.
Thank you. Kota, what was the word she didn't want to say?
Poor.
And you remember the words she used instead of...
Limited guy or something.
A person of limited means. Why do you think she didn't want to use the word poor?
It's not polite.
It's not polite.
See? Because... It would refer to the boy, and he didn't want to hurt him.
That's it. She didn't want to hurt
him. She didn't want to hurt him.
And I think it's all about, maybe she was the first person to be politically correct. So what is political correctness all about, Damon?
Political correctness is about not hurting people's feelings. And it's about using words that are more positive rather than words that are negative. For example, we used to call people of color. We now say people of color. There's black Americans, African Americans. In the past, they were called Negroes. And then there is this thing called the N-word. And what's happened in language is people are trying to get away from words that have negative connotations to them and trying to create words in support of tolerance of diversity and tolerance of differences and celebrating that. So we're using words now that have positive meanings to them, that show the good side of things.
Thank you. So you had an example in connection with race. Could you give us an example in connection with gender or physical abilities?
In gender, in this area of women's liberation and everything, instead of saying male man, we say postal person. Because male person could be male, a female or a male delivering the mail, so postal person.
And physical abilities?
Physical abilities. Instead of saying somebody is deaf or something, sometimes they may say they're hearing challenged.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. It leads us to the other topic. We have this excellent book. It's called Politically Correct Dictionary and Handbook. And I think it sometimes swings into the other extreme. I'm going to block this. You don't say, and I'm showing to you, it doesn't refer to me, you don't say bald, but you say, instead of bald, Victoria?
Hair disadvantage.
Hair disadvantage. Instead of short-sighted, you say, Victoria?
Optically challenged.
Optically challenged. I think it's really, really funny. And we're going to have a couple of other examples, and I wonder if you can find out the word. So could we have the examples? Mentally challenged is politically correct. How would you say it in an incorrect way, Kota?
Maybe stupid.
Yes. The next two examples, please. We're going to have Oh, it's great. Yeah. Cosmetically different, one word, and chronologically gifted.
Cosmetically different.
Cosmetically challenged is
ugly.
Ugly! Fantastic! And chronologically gifted?
Old.
Old. Thank you very much. The next two examples, please. Horizontally challenged. Horizontal. Say it again.
Fat.
Fat. Excellent. And alternatively schooled.
Silly.
Uneducated. Illiterate, maybe. Now, we're going to have this sentence here, and I would like you to rephrase it with the help of all these words. Here comes the sentence. It's going to be a pretty long one. Damon, would you be so kind as to read it out?
Uh-huh. The burglar was a fat and ugly, uneducated, stupid old man.
It's politically incorrect. Okay? So could we have the next sentence, the politically correct sentence? It's going to come up pretty soon. Instead of burglar, you would say. Victoria, would you read it out, please?
The uninvited visitor was a horizontally challenged, cosmetically different, alternatively schooled, mentally challenged, and chronologically gifted man.
Thank you very much. All right.
We might add that a lot of these are just for fun. You don't have to use some of those, but...
Some of them are really important, but, yeah. But most of them are just for fun. For example, yes. This horizontally challenged. Omaki, you're vertically challenged. Would you stand up for it?
Is he vertically challenged? He's not short.
He's too tall.
Too tall.
So vertically challenged. Oh, not challenged. This is advantaged, maybe.
Advantaged.
You are vertically advantaged. You're not too tall. You are vertically advantaged. Yeah. Thank you very much. Sit
Thank
down,
you,
please.
Victor.
You know I like you very much. Uh-huh. We have this word, Yankee. Mm. Is it politically correct? First of all, what does it mean and whether it's politically correct or not?
Very quickly, Yankee, it depends on where you are and who's using it for what purpose. Most people in the New England states of the United States call themselves Yankees. When a Southerner uses it, a Yankee, generally it can be a negative because of the Civil War. The Yankees were the Northerners. The word was coined by the British to be a negative term. However, the New Englanders changed it around to make it positive, hence the song Yankee Doodle Yankee, which came out during that time period. So it can be positive or negative, depending on who's using it and how.
I think I'm going to sing this Yankee Doodle song you have just mentioned. Oh. And I hope that we're going to have the chorus on the projector, so if you can feel like you can join in. Keep it, Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and the step, and with the girls be handy. Yankee Doodle went to town, riding on a pony. He stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni. Father and I went down to camp along with Captain Gooden. There we saw the men and boys as thick as hasty pudding. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and the step and with the girls be handy. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and the step and with the girls be handy. Was Captain Washington, upon a slapping stallion, giving orders to his men, there must have been a million. And there we saw a barrel too, the heads were made of leather. They knocked on it with little clubs and called the folk together. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and the step and with the girls be handy. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and the step and with the girls be handy. Tell you how I see they kept up such a smother. So I took my head off, made a bow, and can put home to mother. Yankee Doodle is a tune Americans delight in. Twill to whistle, sing or play, or just a thing for fighting. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and the step, and with the girls be handy. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and the step, and with the girls be handy. Damon, thank you very much for being here. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.